Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
We are following up on our episodes about desire and the importance of educating and training our desires.
Yes.
And I suspect for a lot of people, just the idea alone that this is something to think about and work on.
Yeah, but you can actually do it.
You can actually do it, yeah. A lot of people don't really see it that way. It's more like, how do I manage these desires?
Darn it,
maybe for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, or those that just don't think that they have to worry about it at all. Like, yeah. Well, this is a good thing. It's a desire.
Yep.
So I can kind of do whatever I want with it.
Yep. So it's good news. The good news is we can actually change the things we want. And we've talked a little bit about this. Just a reminder, the idea is to go from knowing a thing to wanting a thing to loving that thing.
Yes.
And so, again, for example, a lot of people coming in struggle with a porn addiction. And they know that the other side of that, let's call it again, virtue. We've used this example a lot. Let's say lust and virtue kind of stand in opposition. They know that virtue is good. This is, for example, what they would teach their children.
Right.
They may not really want it very much or want it somewhat, but not completely. And we're trying to move beyond even wanting it to loving it, to pursuing it, to there being actual seeking behavior and attitudes.
Right.
And so it's good to think about educating our desires, learning to love something else to offset something that we struggle with.
Yes. And I think David last time said we had four more steps, which wasn't true. Once we finished up, we went, wait, no, there's more, which is great. That just means we have more things to think about, more things to, more tools in our belt to move through these stages.
Yep.
And really strengthen and get to that point where we love the things that we decide we want to love.
Yeah.
It is such a fascinating
concept. You
have
a choice.
Yeah. Yes. Even to say that, it's like, oh, it's such an interesting thing to say, because it feels a little bit novel with just the way that kind of culture and society works.
Right.
It's like, nope, we just get what we're like, whatever we just have, feel, what we have. It. Like, that's it. We don't change it. We don't, like, that's just, that's you. But we can decide who we are and what we want. And we can actually change the neural pathways in our brain to get to the place where we love that thing that we want to love.
But that makes sense. If you think about not having that ability, you really are out of control of your own life in a lot of respects. And I don't think we are. Like, I reject this idea that you're just sort of this way and there's nothing much you can do about it. And your desires are maybe inborn or unchangeable. Well, then it's almost like, well, I can't help my desires then. So if I want this thing, I'm
gonna
just stuck
to
or trapped.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And of course, we're not saying that this is just super easy.
Like, no.
Just flip a switch and you're good.
Right.
But there is a place for us to be able to change, to be able to want something different and achieve that goal.
Definitely. And especially, again, when I'm talking to people struggling with pornography, they don't want to hurt people that they love. They don't want the consequences of those desires. And that's pretty good motivation to change your desires.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them often don't think they can. And so it's not even on their radar. Hey, you can actually address this at the desire level.
Yes.
We're talking about the drink, but maybe we need to talk more about the thirst. if you were to kind of use an, you know, alcohol analogy. Mm-hmm. We're saying don't act out, don't do this, don't do that. Well, what about the desire to do these things? I don't think we spend enough time on that.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, I think of food is a really good mm-hmm. analogy as well, right? Well, I like and I want those sugary things and whatever. But I've seen so many people in life, and I've gone through that process myself of when you start working on that and changing it and changing what you're eating and removing a lot of those kinds of things from your diet, even though it's really hard and you really want to do those things and you see it everywhere and everybody else is doing all the things, you get to a point where like things that you would have considered really, really bland before and not with not much flavor, and you don't, it's like, I guess we're just eating to live here. actually will then have a lot of flavor and they'll be very interesting texture and taste wise. And when you have some of those old things that you used to have, it feels like way too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
To your body.
For sure. Sugar is a good one for that.
Yeah.
If you successfully get off sugar for a while and then you have sugar,
it's like, oh my goodness, way I've got strong. A headache. I've got like my body aches.
Rich.
Yeah.
Too rich. Yeah.
Yep. So that's a really, really cool concept to be able to sink in and let sit in ourselves, that we get to decide what we want to desire.
Yeah.
And we can change that over time, even if it takes a while.
I love it. And I think it's effort well spent. Mm-hmm. So we talked about two steps so far for those keeping track in your notebook of two therapists talking episodes, right? Number one was understand what virtue really is. So just do a deep dive on what it means to you. We ask lots of questions in the last couple of episodes. Go back through, review, make sure you feel really solid your answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. So understanding what virtue really is, number one. Number two,
strengthening your why. And defining your purpose.
Big time. Deep stuff. Mm-hmm. Remember, though, I can say this because of the research. Compulsive sexual behavior or sexual addiction is highly correlated with a sense of meaninglessness.
Right.
And so we want you to have meaning and purpose.
Yes.
And so really strengthen your why, define your purpose.
Absolutely. So today we're going to start with number three. And that one is to genuinely pursue loving virtue with energy, vigor, and effort.
I like those words.
They're fantastic words. So if you want to increase your desire for virtue, it's really going to be impossible if you're not studying, if you're not really reflecting on things, if you're not incorporating mindfulness into your life.
Right. It's the idea is that you have an inner knowledge base, or there's wisdom inside of you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the original internet, where we receive information from outside sources, but there's this inner wisdom that lots of cultures, lots of traditions teach. You just have to tap into it. And the modem or the router is quiet. And meditation and mindfulness and being still and not lots of entertainment or arousal or staying busy or active or lots of distractions. It's actually slowing down and listening to that inner voice.
Yes. If
you call it pondering, reflecting, contemplating, all of those would fit.
Meditating.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep. All of that. That's and looking at, the internal family systems model, that would be yourself. That's what's underneath all of the craziness and the busyness and the protectors and wounded parts that get in the way. It just, if we can move all of those and really connect down with the self, we're going to have access to that base of wisdom and knowledge and be able to connect with it. So you have to give your brain a chance to connect with all of those spaces. With that wisdom and find that space. So I think a lot of us, because of the way that our Western society is, a lot of people don't even know where to find that.
Right. Definitely we don't.
And so you may have never connected to that part of you before. And so getting to the point where you know how to connect to it and you can find it easily and quickly is a really key piece of being able to move forward in really pursuing those desires.
Right. And I always recommend this, and we've talked about this many times as well on this podcast, but the importance of a lifestyle change instead of like one great burst of effort or yes. a sometimes kind of a thing.
Yes.
But incorporating a routine and a schedule that has time set aside for this reflection or mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, it'll feel really hard to do consistently because your brain is used to yep. racing and
just go.
Ruminating and going. Mm-hmm. And we don't help it when we're on our phones and scrolling right. through social media and watching, you know, series and all this stuff. But I would suggest that if you approach this from the lifestyle change angle and you're interested in long-lasting, important changes, we need to build a routine that will satisfy the need here.
Right.
And
right. Critically important. Critically important. I know that all of us want to just be able to change the things we want to change just real quick. Just, you yeah. know, quick fix. But it really is, yeah, that lifestyle change. Being able to connect and just move. Have that be a part of everyday life. So having a routine is critically important. And that space where you've created that routine and you're really sitting in it also gives you enough time to really decide, is this what I want?
Yeah. Yep. Is this what I want? Because it would be easy. I mean, again, analogies of eating healthy or exercising. It would be very easy in the beginning to say, well, I'm not very comfortable with this.
Right. I'm sore.
I'm so hungry. I'm so sore.
Sugar.
I think I'm done. I think I'm out. But we didn't give it enough time to grow and bear fruit, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't nourish it long enough, which is absolutely, admittedly, hard to do. Which yes. is why we talk so much about the commitment, because if you don't have the commitment, yes. if your why is not defined very well,
mm-hmm.
You won't make it. You won't push past the initial hard parts. So,
yeah, you have to plant that seed, nourish that seed,
yep.
give it the chance to actually bear fruit, like David is saying. So it's really, really important to give it a solid space of committed time.
Yep.
I would say you're looking at least 3 months, right? If you're looking at really starting to change habits and patterns and things mm-hmm. like that, you know, research, you know, indicates that you've got to give
it's definitely in months, not really, weeks.
Yes.
Really, I know. Really shoot. Solid. Right. Yeah.
But that's where you're going to start seeing the benefits. Yep. Oh, I'm feeling better. I see. I feel stronger. I feel more capable. I feel more connected to myself, right? All of these things will come
yeah.
after time that we've given it. But again, time that is spent pursuing these patterns and this new lifestyle and routine with energy, vigor, and effort.
Energy, vigor, and effort.
Yep.
Step 3. Step 4. I love this one. Create experiences of loving virtue in triggering situations through visualizing.
Yes.
We've talked about this before in overcoming intrusive unwanted thoughts. We talked about the power of exposure therapy and imagining difficult scenarios mm-hmm. without having to be in those difficult scenarios to
yes.
like be stronger. Which yes. can be really hard. Again, think phobias and like you have a fear of spiders and we're going to just bring a spider to you.
Yes.
And you'll have to try to figure that out. That would be probably overwhelming. We want to do it in stages, and that's what this visualizing does. So what is visualizing again? This is one of my favorite tools. It's taking time to visualize triggering situations when you're feeling good, when you're feeling safe. And it's just your imagination. And so it's a great way to, if it feels heavy or like a lot, you just open your eyes and breathe and ground, because you're not actually in that thing you're imagining.
Right.
Which is, you know, why it works so well. But it does take some time. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that you do it when you're feeling good. Certainly not when you're already triggered or aroused. That's right. Not the time to do it.
Right, right.
But when you've exercised or studied and you're just feeling good, you're feeling calm, then take a few minutes to practice. And we've talked about this before. Quick review. How do you do it? You imagine the triggering scenario just long enough to feel the trigger.
Right.
Not to deep dive.
Yes, okay. Not to sit in there and then imagine all the things.
And then you get worked up and then your body starts to react. Yeah.
Yes.
No, before then, we're not trying to put your body into any sort of fight, flight, or freeze response, which we could really imagine ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not trying to go that deep, but imagining the trigger enough to feel it, and that's when we shift to the perfect response, how we would want to handle that situation.
Yes.
Ideally, like putting the phone down, getting up and going for a walk, reaching out to somebody, talking to somebody. All of these are good ways to handle it. And then you feel that sense of satisfaction. And that's the second feeling. So there's two feelings associated with this visualizing. First, the trigger. Second, the satisfaction. And then you're done. And that shouldn't take more than a few minutes.
Right. Right. Yep. You want to be able to visualize after the trigger, handling the situation perfectly.
Yeah. Just exactly how you would want to. Think of like your highest and best self. When you've arrived at whatever point you want to be, how would you handle this?
Yes.
Your future self with this trigger.
Yes. It's really, really powerful. And we've talked before about how the research indicates that this is can be just as powerful as actually doing it in the moment. And it is a way that you strengthen and develop a different neural pathway in your brain. You can absolutely do this. Change those neural pathways by using visualization. So being able to do that a couple of minutes a day can really have incredible results in terms of your moving forward and being able to be the person that you've decided you want to be.
Yeah. And visualize loving that outcome, that new virtuous outcome.
Yes.
Like actually feeling really fulfilled in having not done whatever.
Yes.
Which you can do, I promise you.
And not just not having done whatever, but having done...
Having done
whatever it
better.
Is that you chose instead.
Yep.
That's the loving this new role, loving this new you that you're literally creating in your mind. You're literally creating those pathways in your mind as you visualize. So you want to do this like one or two times a day.
Yeah.
Flood yourself with these... like created experiences of doing things in this loving, virtuous, positive way, so that your brain has a different option when you do get in real triggering situations.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The fifth one step is to see others as souls and not objects.
Oh. I like to use the same letters, so sometimes I'll say, see others as souls, not sex. But objects, you get the idea, definitely.
Yes, yeah. And remember that lust comes from reducing others to a source of gratification, right? That's kind of what we have to do when we lust.
It's very narrow-minded,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't consider the whole person.
Right.
Just parts.
Mm-hmm. And so virtue grows when you start seeing people as whole souls with divine worth.
Yeah. So this one's a pretty simple one, but it's really good to think about. you would practice when you notice a sexual thought, silently say something like, this person is a child of God. They have a story, hopes, pain, and eternal worth. Now, I know that's a lot, and you can have whatever phrase is meaningful to you, but right. you actually, for a while, will need to challenge your first initial impression, especially if you have a history of just lots of sexualizing.
Right.
And this is directed towards, you know, this virtue or lust tug of war and increasing your desire for virtue. But again, these principles are true for any desires you're trying to increase.
Right, right.
This one's particular.
Yes, this one is a little particular to lusting.
Yep.
But anytime that you're connecting with virtue, that you're connecting with seeing a bigger picture, that you're connecting with souls, it's going to strengthen your capacity to do whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So whether that's connecting with your own self as a soul, other people's, like, you know, I have the right and the desire to change what's going on for me in my life, right? And then connecting with myself more as a soul.
Yeah.
To move forward with whatever it is, whatever goals and desires that I have for myself. You know, how will this help me connect with other people's souls, right? If I am more fit, or if I am healthier in myself, I'm better able to connect to myself or other people as souls. So it's definitely still something that you can translate to whatever it is, the desires that you are having, whatever those things are that you're wanting to pursue. But it definitely fits specifically with this one as well.
Yep. So last time I said we had four more. That's only because I can't do math. But right now, the truth is we have three more.
Three more after this.
Three more after this that we want to cover. But I hope that this is really helpful. And I personally am seeing a lot of success with this. And so I hope mm-hmm. that the idea of shifting these desires is getting a lot of your time and attention and consideration if this is one of the issues you're struggling with.
Yeah. Yep. So join us next time for the last three steps. We'll see you then.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.